This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I've also lost a lot of fans for that. The woke people have left the building, and I'm willing to make that sacrifice. But it does give you a certain credibility.
So there's Bill Maher talking to Chris Cuomo about the meeting at the White House with Donald Trump. And it's been very interesting to listen to both of them be like, well, I guess I'll give it a try and see what can happen. And they're talking about using this as an opportunity to potentially move towards healing. Let's talk to our friend Joe Conch about it, Fox News contributor and author. His new book coming out very soon, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign. Joe, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Happy Monday. How are you, Annie?
Happy Monday. Doing well. Weather is nice here. Baseball is back in session. So I got to say, it's been good so far. Do you buy into this, the genuine nature of the Bill Maher, Donald Trump get together?
Yeah, I really do. I think that Bill Maher, you probably play clips of Bill Maher every Monday, Annie, right? I mean, he says something that goes completely against the grain, things that you'll never, ever hear on MSNBC or CNN outside of a guy named Scott Jennings. And he's been calling this out for a while, not when it became kind of politically cool to do so again, as far as he had Newsom on, as you just played, for example, this weekend. And I'm sorry, that was his conversation with Chris Cuomo, but mm-hmm. he did have Gavin Newsom on this weekend. And he was basically like lecturing Newsom, like, why do you have a law that says that if a child wants to have a sex change or is using like different pronouns than their biological, you know, birth chromosome, right? Why do you have a law that says the parents shouldn't be notified about that? And Newsom hemmed and hawed and you know, basically tried to explain the law as well. You know, we just don't want to get teachers fired for snitching. Well, I'm pretty sure as a parent, you're going to snitch, all right, Mr. Teacher or Mrs. Teacher, because I want to know if my kid needs some mental health assistance, right? If they're considering, you know, a sex change or using different pronouns. And that's the thing. Like, he's like, you're never going to win an election again as long as you keep supporting this stuff or men playing against women in sports. So I think he's been doing it for a while. I think Trump, this is the ultimate troll. I mean, this is because it's going to drive the left crazy when you see those photos of Bill Maher and Donald Trump meeting in the Oval Office. I think he's smart to do it, just like he was smart to do it. Trump was when Joe Scarborough, Mika mm-hmm. Brzezinski, hat in hand, went down to Mar-a-Lago after all the horrible things that they have said about him and said, sure, you can kiss my ring. That's fine. That's what Trump's doing here with Maher, not kissing the ring, but having a conversation. And that's what drives the left crazy, because they're incapable of doing it the other way. That's certainly for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And just even in the campaign, it was very important to the left for people to not humanize Donald Trump. Like, you can't even give him the dignity of respect that a human, you have to degrade him to be subhuman. Otherwise, it's scary for the Democratic left. They're going to worry that people are going to maybe even consider the things that Donald Trump is offering the American people. And now we have some second term receipts to go along with the first term on what Donald Trump is capable of doing. And, I was reading about how Trump is doing this as a favor to Kid Rock. Kid Rock wanted to make this happen. I mean, how cool in this first time in my lifetime in 40 years, I think that I've really identified the Republican Party as being the cool party.
That's such a great observation. They are at this point. When you think about who's on the left, for example, that supports, say, Kamala Harris. Let's go back to her campaign, right? So she sits down on the Who's Your Daddy podcast, but then they pay like $100,000 to like remake the studio. Like for what reason? Even the host was like, what's this about? Or they'll have Oprah, right? Was still does that, you know, a positively annoying yelling thing. You know, here comes Kamala! You're like, oh, nobody thinks this is funny. And maybe 30 years ago in the 90s, you got me on that, but not now. And then you just go down the line. Like you look at late night TV, and it's like, it used to be like, our guest tonight, George Clooney and Julia Roberts. Now it's like, we got Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg. It's like, you know, where are the cool folks over there? And you're right, Kid Rock or Dana White or Joe Rogan, who was a Democrat forever, by the way, they lost him. Elon Musk, yeah, they're definitely the cool party right now, and they're no longer the stuffy country club Republicans, that's certainly for sure, and Donald Trump leads that charge, obviously, as being the cool one.
But, and he, like you said, regarding the Bill Maher sit-down, that he's willing to sit down and listen. And the other side, they not only won't sit down and listen, if they don't like it, they go into a total fits and tantrums, vandalism. And, you know, it's just the irony of ironies that the left is now vandalizing the electric vehicles that they really wanted to push on people. I don't think that that's attractive to anybody.
It's just, I do not understand why more Democrats, Andy, will not just come forward, right? They have social media, microphones, you know, in their face all the time and just say, this is wrong. This must stop. This is an American company that employs 125,000 people. And instead we have here in New York State, for example, one local state senator who is now trying to get Tesla dealerships closed down. And she says, well, it's just for competition. We want to get other, you know, EV makers in here. And okay, so that's what the government is supposed to do now. A competition happens naturally, not because the government mandates it. But the violence thing, as far as, it's not just like, hey, they're going to key a couple of Teslas here and there. Literally Molotov cocktails, firebombing, shots at Tesla dealerships. Somebody's going to get killed. And then that's probably going to be celebrated by the left because these are the same people that celebrated the CEO of United Healthcare being shot in the back, you know, on a New York City street. And then this Luigi Mangione has raised something like $500,000 on a GoFundMe page. And you got idiots like Tim Miller saying, well, you know, he is kind of hot. It's like, we have lost all sense of shame and sanity at this point. If we're celebrating Luigi Mangione and American companies being attacked, that I do know.
Yeah, that whole story has blown my mind. That was, I keep thinking that we've pretty much seen it all. And then we see someone be like, well, he shot him in broad daylight, but I didn't really like what that guy did. So people are justifying it. It's a new low for us societally, I think. And I'm thinking about too. When I'm looking at the left and I'm looking at what they cheer for, and I'm seeing the likes of failed vice presidential candidate Tim Walz on a stage just getting, it was a little too much of a fantasy moment to watch him look at his Tesla stock on the stock app thing on his Apple iPhone, and he's cheering for the degradation of this American company. And all for what? You know, like at the end of the day, if he gets his jollies off of looking at a stock price on his phone, when he closes that app on his phone, what happens next? I mean, is that just the hit that he needs in order to get through the rest of his day? Because that doesn't really seem, as somebody who is serving as a public servant in elected office, what's best for the people who he is supposed to be serving.
Ooh, I know what happens next. Then he looks at the Minnesota State Pension, which has millions of dollars invested in, ding, 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 Tesla. So when the stock falls, then the state pension loses money. This idiot doesn't realize that, or, you know, I watch these rallies. I'm thinking, is there a two-drink minimum? I mean, this is like stand-up at this point. It's not even funny. This guy's like the least cultured person at a bus station, Tim Walz. And I still cannot get over that Kamala Harris chose her over him over Josh Shapiro. And now, you know, he's going to run for president in 2020. I don't think he gets the nomination, but yeah, to cheer that stuff on. And then later, you know, when he was finally confronted about it, he said, oh, these people are so serious. They don't have a sense of humor. There's zero funny things about this. But yeah, that's the thing. It's either make jokes about it or then AOC or Nancy Pelosi, when they were asked about it, you know, basically run away from the microphones and don't just say, this is wrong, it shouldn't happen. Mm. You may disagree with Elon Musk, but that's the whole thing. I saw a poll, Annie, 77% of Americans agree with Doge's mission. So if you take Elon Musk out of it, just 77%. No one agrees on 77% of Americans can't agree on what time it is, let alone, you know, come across like this in a poll. But then you look at Elon Musk's numbers, and he's like at favorability, like, you know, 40%, 35%. It's like, well, how could that be? It would be like the, what are they called again? The Battle Hawks of St. Louis. Winning a championship this year and then saying, yeah, exactly. And then saying, you know, if the coach sucks. But wait a minute. I don't get it. You like the team, but you don't like the mission, you know, but you don't like the coach. That's like how it is with Elon Musk. They like the mission, but, you know, he's been portrayed as like this Nazi. And I guess enough people buy it, which is ironic because he went to Auschwitz last year to denounce anti-Semitism. But yeah, no one bothers mentioning that.
Yeah, it's so upside down. It's hard to understand. But then if it makes no sense, it's hard to make sense of it, of course. Joe Concha, before we let you go, I think, is your book coming out in April? The Greatest Comeback Ever?
Yeah.
Tell me about
it. Finally, we're almost in April, April 29th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon or wherever you buy books. The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big Beautiful Campaign, Unburdened by What Has Been. I don't know why I like reading it in the Cosell voice, but That's just okay. Sounds Cosellian. And Cosell's in the book. So there you go.
Well, we will be making sure that we get a copy of that, Joe. We appreciate your time today. And things continue to look up, even though the Democrats are not really too happy about it. But the less happy they are about it, the bigger the fits, the more I think that we're over the target.
There you go. And congratulations to Amber Ruffin on getting fired from an unfireable position at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Great, great job. Well done.
The unfireable position. Thank you, Joe. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, the comedian is who he's referring to. Completely anti-Trump comedian. You know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is where it's kind of a roast of sorts. People get up there, they make jokes, and they all the people in the press that are a part of the White House Correspondents Association get together and have a night. That, there's nothing wrong with doing that. People do that all the time in all different industries. But it's just essentially, you know, if you question which way the media leans and then you watch who they bring into this event and you watch the kind of jokes that the people there find funny, they're always at the expense of the right. That's where Barack Obama or whomever it was, Key and Peele or whoever it was up there and was talking about maybe Donald Trump will run for president. People have commented that might have been the moment where Trump said, well, maybe I will. That very anti-Trumper comedian was hired and fired in a very succinct amount of time. They need to get Nate Bargatze up there. It would be so funny. I think he would do a bang up job. I would totally watch Theo Von up there. That would be mind blowing. I don't even know how he would handle that, but I would be here for it for sure. Quick break. When we come back, Weekends America, the Monday roundup, those stories that you missed that you need to know, according to Ryan Wiggins, of course. That's next here on The Andy Fry Show.